Amen. So we're there in Psalm 73. And Psalm 73, as we read, is a psalm written by Asaph. Now, Asaph was obviously a godly man, but we see in this psalm that there came a point in Asaph's life where he was miserable in his walk with God. Psalm 73, look at verse number 13. Verse number 13, the Bible says, verily, notice what Asaph said. He said, verily, I have cleansed my heart, notice, in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. See, there was a point when Asaph said that I've cleansed my heart, but it was vain. It was empty. It was void. It was meaningless. He says, I've washed my hands in innocency. See, this man was cleaning his life. He was walking with God, trying to live right. The whole time, he was miserable. He didn't know why he was doing it. He thought, man, what I'm doing, it's empty. It's void. It's vain. It's in innocence. I don't even know why I'm doing it. Notice verse number 14. Notice what it says. It says, for all the day long, notice, have I been plagued and chastened every morning. He says, all day long, I'm being what? I'm being plagued. I'm being troubled. Every morning, every day, I'm being chastened. You know, Asaph got to the point in his life when his walk with God, where he got so miserable, he's like, I'm cleaning my life. I'm living for God. I'm cleaning my heart and my hands, but I don't even know why I'm doing it. It all feels empty. It feels void. It feels vain. He asked the question, why am I even doing this? And we see a man in his life who is miserable in his walk with God. And Asaph tells us there was a point where he almost quit living for God. Psalm 73, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Notice what he says in verse 2. He says, but as for me, notice, my feet were almost gone. He said, but as for me, my feet, the direction that I was heading, the path that I was going, he said, I was almost gone. I almost got out. Notice what he says. He says, my steps had well nigh slipped. See, Asaph was so miserable in his life that he almost quit living for God. He said, the path that I was going, my feet, my direction in life, I was almost out of there. I almost didn't finish the race. He said, my steps had well nigh slipped. And when somebody slips, nobody slips on purpose. When somebody slips, it's always an accident. And people tend to slip backwards, right? And so this man got so miserable in his Christian life because he got so backslidden that he thought, you know what? I was almost gone. I almost quit living for God. But Asaph tells us why this is. Why was this man so miserable? Notice what it says in verse number 3. It says, notice, for. The word for, of course, means because. It's for. Notice, I was envious. See, Asaph tells us why he was miserable. Asaph tells us why he almost quit living for God. He says, for I was envious. He replaced here in Psalm 73, but go if you would to Proverbs 14, just one book back, Proverbs chapter 14. And so Asaph tells us why he was miserable. It says that he was envious. And what is envy? Envy is a feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, success, or possessions. See, when you look at somebody else's advantages or somebody else's success or what somebody else has and it makes you feel discontent, it makes you feel angry or sad or bitter in your life, you know, that's envy. When you look at what somebody else has, the good that they have, and it makes you angry and upset, that is envy and that will ruin your life. Proverbs 14, look at verse number 30. Proverbs 14, 30, the Bible says, notice, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. Notice, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. See, envy is rottenness in your bones. And when something is rotting, it is what? It's decaying. It's in a process of being deteriorating, of deterioration. And envy in your life, when you can look at the success, the possessions, what somebody else has, and it makes you upset, it makes you angry, that will kill your Christian life. And you'll be miserable in life when you choose to be a person who envies. And here we see that Asaph, he was miserable. He was horrible. Why? Because he was envious. But not just that, but Asaph tells us what he was envious towards. Go back to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Asaph tells us what he envied. Psalm 73, look at verse number 2 again. It says, but as for me, notice, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Notice, for I was envious, notice, at the foolish. Notice, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. See, Asaph tells us what was it that he envied. Asaph envied the prosperity of the wicked. See, Asaph looked at the world. He looked at the wicked, the prospering wicked of this world, and it made him sad. It made him upset. It made him bitter. It made him angry. He thought, why do they have that and I don't have that? How can they have that prosperity, but me and my life, I don't even know why I'm living for God. I don't know why I'm cleaning my life. I don't know why I'm going to church 3 times a week. I don't know why I'm going soul winning. When I look at the world, it seems like they're just prospering. And if that's you, you're going to live a miserable Christian life to the point that you're going to get to the place you'd be like, you know what? Maybe my feet should go away. Maybe I'm going to be well nigh slipping. Why? Because you're envying the prosperity of the wicked. And so this evening, I'm preaching on envying the prosperity of the wicked. See, the devil wants you to envy the wicked. The devil wants you to envy their prosperity, to get you to the place where you're so miserable in the Christian life when you think that the prosperity of the wicked is greater than the Christian life. And this is what the devil wants for you. Go if you would to, or you're there in Psalm 73. So what was it about the prosperity of the wicked? What did Asaph see? You know, what is it that people see that makes them envy the wicked of the world? Well, number one, we see that they envy the possessions. We see that Asaph, he envied the possessions of the wicked. Psalm 73, notice verse number 7. Verse number 7, the Bible says, notice, their eyes stand out with fatness. Notice what he says, is they have more than heart could wish. See, Asaph looked at the world and he said, those people, the wicked, it says they have more than heart could wish. They have all the possessions, they have all the wealth, they have all the riches, they have more than heart could wish. Notice verse 12, it says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. Notice, they increase in riches. See, when you look at the wicked of the world and you look at their wealth, their possessions, their material, and that makes you envious, that will bring nothing but misery in your Christian life. Go if you would to, keep placing Psalm 73, but go to Matthew 4 if you would. Matthew 4, see, the devil wants you to envy the possessions, the wealth, the material of the wicked. The devil wants to use riches and wealth to make you feel miserable in your life, to make you feel like if you just had those possessions, then you'd be happy. See, Asaph got to the place where he was living for God, but he said, you know what? It's emptiness. It's void. Why? Because I don't have their possessions. I don't have their wealth. And the devil will use riches to make you feel envy. Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, we have the devil going to Jesus, and here we see the temptation. And what was it that he tempted him with? Well, one of the things in verse number 8, notice what it says, Matthew 4, 8. It says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, notice, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, notice, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. See, one of the temptations that the devil gave to Jesus is he took him up to this mountain, and he showed him what? He showed him the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He showed him everything. He said, Jesus, you can have all the possessions. You can have all the world. You can have the position. You can have the wealth. You can have it all if you'll just do one thing, if you will just fall down and worship me. And it's no different for you and I. See, you and I, what the devil wants you to feel is to feel envy towards the wealth, towards the riches, towards the possessions of the wicked. To do what? So you would stop serving God. Notice what the response is in verse 10. It says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. See, the devil, he tried to get Jesus down. Wow. By showing him the wealth, the glory, the kingdom, the position, whatever you want in life. He said, I'll give it to you, and you can have it all if you'll just worship me. See, in the same way, if there's some earthly possession that you desire, that you crave so much that it takes you out of the will of God, then that was the doing of the devil. When you can get to the place where you get so miserable in your life because you don't have this wealth, you don't have these riches, I'm just going to quit going to church, I'm going to quit living for God, it's pointless, it's meaningless, you have fallen for the trap of envying the prosperity of the wicked. Go to Mark 4, if you would, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, see, the devil wants to trick you, he wants to deceive you into desiring, into envying the wealth, the riches, the prosperity. Mark 4. And in Mark 4, we have the parable of the sower. And in Mark 4, look at verse number 18, it says, notice, and these are they which are sown among thorns. In verse 18, notice, such as hear the word. Notice, these people, they heard the word of God. They heard the Bible. These people were saved. Notice what it says in verse 19. But notice, and the cares of this world, notice, and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. See, notice what it says. It says that the deceitfulness of riches. See, it's not the actual riches. It's not the actual wealth. No, it's the deceitfulness. It's the lie of riches. It says, notice, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, notice, and the lusts of other things. Notice, it's not the fact that you actually have the riches, that you have the wealth. No, it's the deceitfulness of riches. It's the lie of riches. It's the lie that tells you that, you know what, you'll be happier in life, Christian, if you would leave worshiping, serving the Lord, and go and serve the almighty dollar. And go and serve the riches and get the wealth and get the money. That'll make you happier. That's a lie. That's the deceitfulness of riches. They will lie to you and make you think that will make you happy. And isn't it true? You know, you live your life and all you see all around are advertisements. You know, I haven't seen TV in like over a decade, but I remember when I was watching TV back when I used to watch it, what do you see? Commercials all the time, advertisements. And what do you think? Like, man, I need a new car. Or man, I need a bigger house. Or man, I need those new clothes. You know, you're always being bombarded with advertisements to make you feel like you're just miserable, that you're downgraded because you don't have that car, you don't have those wealth, you don't have those possessions. And why? It's to make you feel envious, to make you desire things, to get you out of your walk with God so you can think that those things will make you happy. And so we see that the devil will try to deceive you with riches, but notice sometimes it works. It says that these people who are sown among thorns, it says, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, notice, entering and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. See, there's a work in your life that God is doing right now that can be choked. And it can stop and it can end. And it's not having the wealth. No, it's you thinking you need the wealth. You thinking that the wealth will make you happy. And it will deceive you. Go, if you would, to 1 Timothy 6. So what is the prosperity of the wicked? You look at the world. What is it that we see that they prospered? Well, we see that they prosper in their wealth. They prosper in their possessions. They prosper in their money. And you know what? God does not want you to envy those things. See, what should you do when it comes to the prosperity of the wicked, when it comes to their possessions? You should learn to be content in your life. Learn to be content. 1 Timothy 6, notice verse number 6. It says, notice, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And what is contentment? It's just being happy. It's being satisfied. And you, in your life, if you're not satisfied in your life, if you're not happy with what you have, there's a problem there. Then you're probably backslidden, like Asaph was, when he thought that the prosperity of the wicked was better than living for God. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Why? It says, notice, for we brought nothing into this world, and notice, it is certain we can carry nothing out. See, why is it that you should be content? Because you know what? You came in here with nothing. We all came in here with nothing. And you know what? We're going to leave the exact same way. We're going to leave with nothing. And the truth is, in our life, this little short time we have in our life, whatever we have, it's because God has allowed us to have those things. And God wants us to be content with those things that we have. Notice verse number 8. It says, notice, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So you should be happy. See, the opposite of being an envious person is being happy and content. Somebody who's not happy, who is not content, is probably because they're envious. And so you in your life realize if you have food, if you have clothing, then God expects you to be happy. God expects you to be content. In verse number 9, notice what it says. It says, but they that will be rich, notice, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. It says, but they that will be rich. Notice again, it's not the fact that they are rich. See, riches, having money, being wealthy, there's nothing wrong with those things. But notice, they that will be, those who have the goal, those who have the desire, those who make that the aim of their life, those people will fall, the Bible says. Notice verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. See, it's not the money, it's the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. See, it's not the physical money. No, it's the love of money. And someone said, envy is the art of counting the other fellow's blessings instead of your own. So when you spend your time envying or looking and coveting, desiring somebody else's house, and it makes you feel miserable in your home, there's a problem there. When you envy, when you look at the fashion, the clothes, you need to have the newest clothes all the time, and you feel misery with what you're wearing, there is a problem there, and you're feeling envy. But we should be counting, no, we should count our own blessings and realize, you know what? God has given you food, he's given you raiment, and you should be content. You have a home, you have a vehicle, you have cars, you have a church, you have the word of God. You should be happy in your life. But see, the devil wants you to be misery, wants you to be miserable. Go back, if you go to Psalm 73, Psalm chapter 73. So what is it that Asaph envied? Well, number one, he envied the possessions of the wicked. But number two, we see that Asaph also envied the peace of the wicked. He envied the peace of the wicked. I want you to notice what Asaph describes in his life again in verse 14. He says, notice, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. See, Asaph in his life, he did not experience peace. He says, all day long I'm being plagued, I'm being troubled, I'm being chastened, and it doesn't seem like a very pleasant life. But when he looked at the world, I want you to notice the peace that the world has when Asaph describes him. In verse number two, it says, notice, but as for me, in verse two, my feet were almost gone. My steps had one night slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Notice verse five, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. See, when Asaph looked at the world, when he envied the wicked, you know what he said? No, these men, they're not in trouble as other men. These men, they're not plagued like other men. See, Asaph looked at the way they were living their life. He said, these people are living their life, you know what? And they have a peace to them. The fact that these people, the wicked of the world, they could do what they want, and it seems like they have no consequences for their actions. It seems like they have a certain peace. When you look at the world today and you see people committing all sorts of wickedness, people committing adultery, fornication, drunkenness, all the filth of the world, and you look at them and it seems like there's no consequences to their actions. It says they are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men. Go if you would to Job 21, just one book back. You're in Psalms, one book back is the book of Job. See, what was it that Asaph envied? He envied their peace. The fact that the people out there, the wicked of the world, it seems like they can live how they want, do what they want, and there's no consequences in their life. Job 21, notice verse number 7, Job 21, 7. Here we have Job describing the wicked. Job 21, verse number 7, it says, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, are mighty in power? Verse 8, their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Notice, their houses are safe from fear. Notice what it says, neither is the rod of God upon them. See, Job said that these people, their houses are safe from fear. He said these people, they have nothing to worry about. The wicked of the world, they have no fear. They have nothing to worry about. It says, neither is the rod of God upon them. And look, this is what the devil wants you to think. With the TV shows and the movies and the media, the devil wants you to think that, hey, you can go out and do whatever you want in your life and there's no problems, you'll be happy. You want to be a whore and a whoremonger? You want to be a drunkard? You want to be on drugs? You want to live how you want? Do whatever you want? You know what? You can do it. You'll be happy. That is the lie that the devil wants you to think, that there's no consequences to your actions. But you know, for the wicked of the world, it seems like that's how it is. It seems like they just live how they want. And look, I have people I grew up with that I still know who are friends who are not saved, and they do what they want and live how they want, but it seems like they don't get in trouble. It seems like it's okay. It seems like there's no fear of God in them. It seems like the rod of God is not upon them. It seems like they are not plagued like other men. And you, in your Christian life, when you get to the place where you think, man, I wish I was like them in the world, because you know what? They could do what they want and get away with it. You know, that's going to cause misery in your Christian life when you think you'll be happy because you know what? They have no consequences. Go if you would to Hebrews 12, if you would. If you go from the end of the Bible, from Revelation, you go Revelation, Jude, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, James and Hebrews chapter number 12. And you know what? The truth is, and yeah, the wicked of the world, they can do what they want. And on this earth, they probably won't feel any consequences. But you know what? We shouldn't envy that. We shouldn't desire that. We shouldn't allow that to cause us to have misery in our Christian life. Because the truth is, you and I live by a different set of rules. So you and I, we can't just do what we want and not get punished for it. Why? Because there are consequences. Hebrews 12, notice verse number 5. Hebrews 12, 5, the Bible says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Notice, my son, it says, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. He says, notice, despise not thou. And Asaph got to the place where he almost despised the chastening. He looked at the wicked of the world, their prosperity, their peace. And he almost despised the fact that, man, they're at peace and I'm being plagued. I'm being chastened every day. And look, sometimes this causes misery in the Christian. Notice verse number 6, it says, notice, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Notice what it says for whom the Lord loveth. You know, and I'm glad that God loves me. And if you're saved, you should be glad that God loves you. And the fact that you have a heavenly Father who loves you so much, that he's working in your life, that he's correcting you, that he's disciplining you. It says, notice, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, notice, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. See, if you have a child, if you're a parent, you know you discipline your kids because you want something better for them. You know, and if we were honest, if the parents in the room were honest, no parent would want their kid to grow up to be a drunk, a whoremonger, to love money. No parent would want that for their child. But in the same way, our Heavenly Father, for us adults, God does not want that as well. Because God loves us. When we do these wicked things, God will punish us because he loves us. Notice verse number 7. It says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? It says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, notice, then are ye bastards and not sons. And look, I thank God that I'm not a bastard. I thank God that I have a father who loves me. And when you look at the wicked of the world, and they're not being punished for everything, the Bible says that they're bastards. Why would you envy the fact that these people, they can do whatever they want? You should be glad and thankful that your father up in heaven takes the time to correct you because he wants something better for you. And you know, if you're a teen in this room, you got to realize that God doesn't want you committing fornication. Why? Because you're better than that. You know, as Christians, you're better than the drunkenness of the world, than loving money. You're better than these things. And God loves you so much that he's wanting to correct and chasten you because he's working in your life. And look, you shouldn't envy the wicked of the world. Yes, you know, right now it seems like they can get away with what they want, but you know what? They don't have a father in heaven. They're bastards. They're not sons. You know, I'm glad that God loves me, and you should see it as a privilege to have the King of Kings to be loving you so much that he chastens you and corrects you. You got to be thankful that you have a God who loves you. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, it says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Go, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3, if you would, 1 John 3. 1 John 3. So why would you envy the fact that these people can do what they want, live how they want? And yes, right now they have no consequences, but you know what? They're bastards, they're not sons. And you, because God loves you, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So don't despise the chastening. You should use it, take it, correct it. And if you feel like, man, I can't just do whatever I want, and then, you know, you can't do whatever you want, because God won't allow it. You know, if you're sitting here, you think you could do whatever you want, you could do all the wicked acts, and there's no consequences, then you're not saved. Because one of the great signs of being saved is the fact that God is chastening, God is working in your life. 1 John 3, look at verse number 1, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love, 1 John 3, 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, notice, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. It says, what manner of love? What privilege, what an honor to be called a son of God, the Bible says. And instead of envying the prosperity of the wicked, their peace, the fact that, yes, they can get away with whatever they want to do, realize that they're bastards and not sons, and why would you envy the fact that they don't have a father in heaven? And realize that there's nothing to envy out there. There's nothing that the prosperity of the wicked, yes, they could do what they want, but you know what? It's wickedness and it's foolishness, and it will destroy your life. So God will punish you, and you in your life, you live by a different set of rules. Go back to Psalm 73, if you would, Psalm 73. So we see Asaph, who was miserable in his Christian life, in his walk with God. Why was he miserable? Well, he saw the possessions, he saw the wealth, he saw their material, and he also saw their peace, the fact that they could do what they want and get away with what they want. But what else did he see about the wicked? Notice, he saw their pride. He saw their pride. And what is pride? You know, pride is you. Pride is me. You know, pride is when you can do what you want because you want to. And pride is about putting one person first, and that is yourself. You know, pride is something that the devil also wants you to envy. Psalm 73, notice verse number 6, it says, notice, therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Notice, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. Notice, they speak loftily. See, one thing that characterized these people is pride. The fact that they could do what they want because it made them feel good. The fact that the first person in their life was themselves. And look, that's pride. When you make the center of your life all about you, then you know what? You're going to be miserable in the Christian life. Because the Christian life is not all about you. It's about putting other people first. Go back, if you would, to 1 John 2. If you would, 1 John chapter number 2. Or in the Bible, 1 John 2. So this man, Asaph, he saw their pride. It says they speak loftily. They're proud. It's all about them. And isn't this a characteristic of the world? You know, don't they push pride hugely? Where it's all about how you feel. It's all about you, you, you. It's all about your life. But 1 John 2, notice verse number 15. 1 John 2, 15, it says, notice, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, notice the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, notice what it says, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It says the pride of life, that's not of the Father. When your life is all about what you want to do as a Christian, look, as a Christian, when your life is all about, well, you know what, I don't want to go to church because I just don't want to go to church. Well, I don't want to go soul winning because I don't want to go soul winning. I don't want to obey this command because I just don't want to obey this commandment. Look, you will live a miserable Christian life when you have the pride of life, when it's all about what you want to do, me, 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 my, my, my. But as Christians, we should live for other people. You're there in 1 John 2, but go to 3 John chapter 1. Two books over, 3 John 1. See, the wicked live for themselves, but you know what? The righteous should live for others. The righteous should live for others. 3 John 1. I want you to notice what John says. It says here in 3 John 1, verse 2. It says, beloved, notice, I wish above all things, notice, that thou mayest prosper. Notice the heart that this man had. He said, I wish above all things, not for my own prosperity, not what makes me feel great, not what puts me, no, it says that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Notice, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Notice what he says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John said, I have no greater joy to hear that the people that I've invested in, I've helped to, I got saved, I helped grow. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. See, a great joy for the Christian is when you can put others first. When others can succeed, can prosper before you. It says, I wish above all things that, notice, that thou mayest prosper. See, the wicked, what they do is they live for self. And the world wants you to live for yourself. But you know what? God wants you to put other people first, to live for others. Go to Matthew 20, if you would. Matthew chapter number 20. See, being great means putting others before you. Being a great Christian, being a happy Christian, is putting other people before yourself. Go to Matthew 20, if you would. Matthew 20. But the wicked wants you to live for yourself. The pride of life, where it's all about you. But the happy Christian will choose to live for others. Matthew 20, notice verse number 25. Matthew 20, 25, the Bible says, but Jesus called them unto him, in verse 25, and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, notice, let him be your minister. See, Jesus said, if you want to be great, if you want to be number one, it says, whosoever will be great, it says, let him be your minister. Verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, notice, let him be your servant. See, those who are great in the eyes of God are those who serve other people. Verse 28, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, I've always loved that verse where it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Here we have God in the flesh. You know, he could have squashed all of us like a bug if it pleased him. And he would have been justified for it. But God in the flesh came to earth and said, no, I didn't come here for you to serve me. No, I came here to minister and to do what? And to give my life and to put other people first. See, a happy Christian, a content Christian will live for other people. But a miserable Christian will only live for themselves. When you put yourself first and the decisions you make are all about you, you'll be miserable in life. But a happy Christian, a content Christian will do what? They'll put other people before themselves. And so Asaph looked at the world and he was envious. He was miserable. Why? Because those people out there, you know what? Yeah, they can do whatever they want to do. And yeah, they are living for themselves. And you have to put other people first. But you know what? There's great contentment. There's great joy when you can live for others. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, we should put other people first and live for others. Go back to Psalm 73, if you would. Psalm 73. So we see the prosperity of the wicked. What is their prosperity? The fact that they have the possessions, the fact that they have peace, the fact that they have pride where they could do what they want. But I want you to notice, we also see the end of the wicked. Because the truth is, there is an end to the prosperity of the wicked. Psalm 73, notice verse number 16. It says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, notice, then understood I their end. And so what is the end of the wicked? It says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, it says, they are utterly consumed with terrors. You know, what is the end of the wicked? It's destruction. It's desolation. It's being utterly consumed with terrors. And realize, look, they may seem happy right now. And when you go out in the world, people who aren't saved, yeah, they look happy. They look like they're partying, but guess what? No, there's destruction at the end. If they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell, and then where's all the happiness there? Those possessions that they worked for, that they love so much, they're not going to take it with them to the grave. It's going to be burned up. The world passeth away in the lust thereof. It's all going to be gone, and you know what? The end of the wicked is destruction. And the fact that their pride, that they live for themselves, and they had no consequences, but you know what? No, one day, they're going to bow their knee to Jesus Christ. And they're going to realize, you know what? It wasn't all about me. It was all about him. And I should have put other people first. I should have put him before what I wanted to do. And you know what? The wicked, they do have an end. Go, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you find the T books towards the end, go to 2 Thessalonians 1. We see the end of the wicked. What is their end? It's destruction. It's desolation. It's being utterly consumed. And realize that Asaph, you know, he came to the realization of the truth when he thought about their end. And you in your life, you got to realize that when you think about the end of the wicked, the fact that they will die and go to hell if they don't get saved, that should prioritize some things in your life. When you realize that, you know what, I'm not just living for me and now, I'm living for eternity. And the choices I make, they have consequences forever. 2 Thessalonians 1, notice verse number 8, it says, notice, in flaming fire. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It says, who shall be punished. So right now, yes, they do have peace. Right now, yes, they can do what they want, and there's no problems. Right now, yes, they can do what they want, and there's no problems. But you know, one day they will be punished for their actions. One day the books will be open, and everything they did, everything that you thought they got away with, they're going to be punished for those things. So why would you envy that? Why would you envy? Look at the world. Look at the wicked. Look at the prosperity, their peace, their pride, and envy anything about what they have to offer when their end is destruction. Go back, if you would, to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. So what is the end of the wicked? It's desolation. It's destruction. It's being utterly consumed with terrors. And tonight, lastly, I want to see that in this chapter, not only do we see the prosperity of the wicked, we see the end of the wicked, but we see the proper perspective of the Christian life. We see the proper perspective of the Christian life. And I want you to notice again that Asaph, he was miserable. In verse 14 again, it says, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. It says, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Notice Asaph said it, if I say I will speak thus. You know, they came to a point where Asaph was so miserable, he's like, man, I just want to be like them. But he said, if I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. It says, when I thought to know this, notice, it was too painful for me. And we see a man who at one point in his Christian life, he was a miserable man. But what happened? Well, verse number 17, it says, notice, but until, it says, until I went where? Into the sanctuary of God. See, what happened to Asaph is that one day he walked into the house of God. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, notice, then understood I their end. See, this man, while he was living in misery, he said, you know what, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to the house of God. And when he went there, he realized, you know what, now I get it. Now I see their end. Now I have the proper perspective of life. See, church in your life will give you the proper perspective of how things are. See, right now, some people might feel envious at the fact that, yeah, people seem happy out there. It seems like they could do what they want. But remember, realize, you know what? There's going to be an end to that wickedness. There's hell at the end of the tunnel. And if they don't get saved, that's where they're going to go. It says, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. And I want you to notice how this changes perspective on life. In verse 22, it says, notice, how foolish was I and ignorant. He said, I was dumb when I thought that they were prospering, when I thought they were happy. I was dumb when I thought that their life was better than mine. How foolish and ignorant. Notice what he says. He says, I was as a beast before thee. He said, I was no better than just a dumb animal in the sight of God when I thought that the prosperity of the wicked was better than the Christian life, was better than living for God, than walking with God. How foolish, it says, and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Verse 23, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. See, the proper perspective of the Christian life is that, you know what, is that this is the best life now. You know, this is your life. This is the best life to be. And it is foolishness, it is ignorance to think that what the world has to offer is better. And when you get those thoughts, when you think, man, what they have is so much better, realize that Asaph will tell you that, you know what, that's foolishness and you're being no better than just a dumb animal. It says, until I went into the sanctuary of God. If you would ask Asaph, hey, Asaph, how important is church? I think Asaph would say, hey, church is pretty important. The church is so important that, you know what, it kept a man of God like Asaph, who God used to write scripture, to keep him in line. See, without the sanctuary of God, without the house of God, Asaph had well nigh slipped. Asaph's feet would have gone out of the way. And people today think that they can live the Christian life and not go to church. That you think you can be a successful and a happy Christian just going to church whenever you feel like it? You're going to fail in life. You're going to fall out the way. You're on your way out. You're sliding back when you think that it doesn't matter. It's only one service. No, the sanctuary of God, the house of God will keep your feet in line. It'll keep you in your place. It'll give you the proper perspective of the Christian life. Look at verse number 25. And Asaph realized, you know what? There's nothing on earth that compares to being close to God. Verse 25, it says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. Asaph said, who have I in heaven but thee? And he said, you know what? There's nothing. There's no one. There's no wealth. There's no possession. There's nothing that this world can offer you. It says, there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. See, when you can get to your own personal walk with God, when you realize that, you know what? You can have a personal walk with God, and that'll mean more to you than whatever this world has to offer. That'll motivate you. That'll constrain you to do everything as a Christian. That'll bring you happiness when you realize that you can have a walk with God, that God can be pleased with you, that he can love you and cherish you, and you can be pleasing in sight. You know, that is more valuable than everything this world has to offer. And look, you can have the wealth, you can have the money, you can have the pride, you can have the peace, but at the expense of what? At the expense of being pleasing to God and being right with him? That's foolishness. That's ignorance. You should desire. There's nothing upon earth, it says, that I desire beside thee. And so the proper perspective is what? Is what? Is what this world has to offer, the prosperity of the wicked does not compare at all to, know what? To having the Lord, to being close to him. Psalm 73, notice verse number 26, we'll end the chapter. It says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. It says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. So in this chapter, we see what? We see a man who was miserable. And maybe right now you feel miserable in your Christian life. You feel like, man, what the world has to offer is just so much better. But we see their end. Realize that, you know what? It's not going to last. And it's going to be meaningless. And it's going to be pointless. And realize, hey, you have a Father in heaven who loves you. And yes, you can't do what you want. There are consequences on this earth. He will punish you because he loves you and because he has something better for you. And realize that nothing on this earth compares, replaces, even comes close to knowing God and being close to him and being pleasing him to him. So don't ever envy the prosperity of the wicked. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. You got to thank you for your word and for our church. And I just thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord. I just pray that you help us all to apply the sermon and help us all to be pleasing in your sight, Lord, to love you, to put you first. And I just thank you for your long-suffering and patience with all of us, God. And I just pray that you be with our church, God. We love you, and we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.